Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning. It is bright and early. It is March 9th, Sunday, broadcasting live here in the great District 1, which is in Shasta County. I am Kevin Cry. This is my show. Welcome. And you're listening either at KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, or 1460 AM. And I got to tell you, it is a beautiful day. This is one of the first days I've actually been up and about since I returned from D.C. because I have been pretty sick. If you hear my voice, it probably sounds still a little bit like James Earl Jones and a little deeper than normal. But I am glad to be with all of you. I have a lot to share. So what I'm going to tell you is tomorrow morning on my Facebook at 7 a.m. when I go live, I'm going to unpack my D.C. trip as well as quite a bit regarding some changes to public comment at our Board of Supervisors meetings that are going to be coming. And also I'm going to be discussing quite a bit about the Peaks subdivision. So tomorrow's video is going to be a very, very long one, I'll just tell you. And I would encourage people, if you're going to watch, put some comments in. We can have that discussion. But I wouldn't doubt that tomorrow's show, Facebook Live at 7, probably won't go at least a half hour. So if you don't get a chance to watch it live, I would recommend you going back and watching it. You can go to Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Again, that's Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Find me there. And that will be archived as well. I did a video this past week from D.C., and it's great because when I started doing these, it was like, what's the point? Because there was 100 views, 150 views, a handful of likes, maybe a couple shares. Well, this last video I did has almost – and again, this isn't a big deal, but to me it means we're reaching people and people are paying attention and people want the information. But nearly 4,000 unique views, 100 and something odd shares, and quite a few other engagements. So to me, it's encouraging that people are paying attention and people want to know information from I thought we had a power outage, it looked like, across the street. So sorry about that for the delay. But what's encouraging is I'm seeing a lot of people actually really, really engaged. And this last week, the city of Reading had a city council meeting on Tuesday. And the city council meeting on Tuesday actually had a lot of people very engaged. And one of the things on the agenda of the many big topics, I mean, Big League Dreams was on there. And the other one that was really, really I wouldn't say volatile. I would just say it was very spirited, was around a cannabis sales tax. And as many of you listeners that have followed me in my political journey, I have always been the absolute never raise your tax guy, and I continue to be that guy because the longer that I'm in government, the more opportunity I see for just total complacency and people not investing the public's money well. But I will say that as a business here in California, it is hard. It's hard enough to survive. Now, with that, there are costs to delivering services to people, especially around certain verticals like cannabis. And so that was on the agenda. Now, one of the things I want to give a disclaimer, because I have a guest with us this morning calling in, a gentleman named Lathan Martinez. Now, I met Lathan Martinez way back in 22 when I was running as a candidate for District 1. So I met him in the primary and stayed in touch with him through the general. He did support me, and it wasn't so much maybe that he supported me as much as he didn't support my opponent. And when I met with him, I told him, I said, I'm not really a big fan of cannabis. I've never smoked it myself. My brother dealt with substance abuse problems, which are well documented here on this show. And but I said, what's important to me, though, is the people's right to own and operate a business legally. Now, what I've learned since being in office and working with Sheriff Johnson and the MET team are doing a phenomenal job eradicating illegal grows all throughout Shasta County. And I've learned that a well-regulated legal cannabis market drives the black market down and out. However, when you start tinkering with things, taxing and everything else, what that does is that gives the black market an opportunity to get a foothold in. And that's well documented. That's not my opinion. That is fact. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to invite Lathan today to kind of give a little bit deeper of his side of this whole situation, because, this isn't a county jurisdictional thing, but when it comes to tax dollars and how the government is spending our money at the city of Reading, which is my district essentially, that is relevant to me, and I think it's relevant to a lot of my listeners. So, Lathan, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right, Lathan, welcome. And then, David, can we turn him up a little bit just so we can hear him? All right. Welcome, sir. I appreciate you coming on. If you were listening, I did give the disclaimer that you did support me in my race in 22. Again, though, but we hadn't spoke actually since right before the election in November of 22 until yesterday when I called you. So, I didn't talk to you throughout the recall. I haven't talked to you since I've been in office. But after I watched the City of Reading meeting, I thought, man, I gotta reach out to Lathan and kind of hear what else is behind the curtain of all of this, because 3 minutes doesn't give you justice for being from what you said, and I can't verify this, but you're our largest taxpayer in the City of Reading. Was that statement true? I mean, of course, I think
yeah. So
go ahead.
So with
all that, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on. And definitely thanks for giving me more than 3 minutes. It was funny at the meeting how Munns cut me off right at the three-minute mark, and I was actually trying to talk about cultivators.
Well, I would have done the same thing, just so you know, as chair, the 3 minutes, but that's why I want you on here and take as much time as you want, so go ahead.
Totally, yeah. So, but I just thought it was funny. But I don't know. I've been to other city council meetings where they definitely give you a little bit of leeway, especially if you're someone that they can get information from that is educated on what they're not educated on.
That makes sense.
And I thought after the fact they should have asked some people to come up and educate them on some things that they were wrong about. But I'll talk about those. But but no, thanks for having me on. I think, you know, it's interesting. So cannabis obviously was illegal for a long time. When the state of California and a lot of these jurisdictions started talking about legalization of cannabis, people in the industry, including me, were pretty much all for it because we didn't want to operate, in an illicit market. We wanted to be able to, you know, have a normal business like everybody else. So we were really gung-ho about getting stuff, approved, whether it was state or local, tax initiatives or just the recreational cannabis law, all of that we've got behind immensely and put a lot of money into it to get it passed. Hindsight's 2020, because looking back on what we did get passed, and this includes the city of Reading, probably wasn't the most efficient thing for us. What it did at the state level was it created an agency called the Department of Cannabis Control. Similar to if you have a liquor license, I'm spacing the name of that that agency, but how they regulate liquor licenses, that's how they regulate us. And we were gung-ho, so we said, okay, we'll approve an excise tax. We'll get that pushed through. When I say we, it was California voters, but we put money behind it to get it approved. And that excise tax is huge. Right now it's 15% of our retail price. that goes directly to the state. We also pay in Reading, we pay a 7.25% sales tax. We were paying a 5% sales tax. Now we're paying a 6% sales tax, which I'll go into what they approved at that city council meeting. But all of this being said, we basically created a government agency at the state and local level that regulates us, and you touched on it. It really should have been something that regulated the illicit market rather than regulating us. But really what it does is it regulates our businesses. We pay them billions of dollars. The cannabis market pays billions of dollars to the state of California, essentially to tell us what to do, to over-regulate us. And I'm of the mindset that less government's better, more efficient government's better. But it's a perfect example of what happens in California. You create agencies. They never get smaller. They always get bigger. They always want more money. They always want more jobs. They always increase taxes because of that. And it'll never go away. And I think you can take that into anything. You know, even if you're talking about the nursing licensing program or whatever. So that's kind of a background of what happened. And as it pertains to the city of Reading, what we voted in was, not only a cannabis law, but a tax law, a tax initiative. So, and what that initiative said is for retail cannabis, it can be between 5% and 10%. Of gross receipts, that tax. It could be for cultivation between $3 and $25 per square foot, which is a huge number. And for manufacturing, it can be up to 4% of gross receipts.
Okay, let me help answer this. I mean, I think I know the answer, but just for the listeners. So when you talk about the range, so when this went before the voters voted that would be the range that could be set, correct?
Exactly.
And yes. and then the voters, who did the voters say get to arbitrarily pick where that percentage lands?
The city council.
City council, correct.
Through a staff recommendation, so basically through, you know, the city manager recommending something, which he did. And I don't think the voters actually knew that. I think the voters saw on the ballot, do you want to legalize cannabis in Reading? And they said, yeah, overwhelmingly said yes, because the North State is, a lot of people were in that industry and a lot of people consume cannabis. So
hey, my Uncle Bud, who's listening almost guaranteed in Yorba Valley right now, has been a cannabis user medically or recreationally since the Vietnam War. And he's held a job. He's a good dude. Not a great golfer anymore, but that's only because, you know, he's getting older. And I love you, Uncle Bud. But the reality is, like, THC in cannabis is a medicine for a lot of people. And now that I'm getting older, I'm having a lot of friends as parents that have glaucoma, cancer, and other things that are using it for that. But also, I mean, there's a lot of other drugs that are killing us that in terms of leading to obesity. Diabetes, which is like sugar and caffeine, and we could go on and on about all the different types of drugs. So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I digress.
No, I mean, that's a good point. Cannabis doesn't really kill people. It can. I mean, if you smoke it, it can be not great for your lungs, but it doesn't really kill people. And I've heard thousands of stories of how it helps people. It's also recreationally legal, so people use it as a recreational drug as well. And hopefully your uncle shops at Sundial Collective too. But
no, he's down in Southern California, and I guarantee you he's got a guy somewhere. So, but you know what? When we talk about Lathan, I just want to get back to this. When we talk about, like, you know, when, because I was extremely extremely uneducated about marijuana, or I mean, I've never been drunk. Like I said, I've never smoked. I mean, I'm about as quote unquote square and straight laced and boring as it comes when it comes to that kind of stuff. And that's mostly because a lot of my friends in high school, you know, would drink and keggers and all that kind of stuff. So because that's what they did, I did the opposite. Now, if they were all, you know, the straight laced ones, I probably would have been a raging alcoholic just because I had to be different. And the one thing, though, people will say was, well, marijuana is a gateway drug. Well, here's where my opinion on that has changed a little bit, is I remember when creatine came out in the 90s, and I was a strength coach, and I wasn't encouraging kids to take creatine because I said, hey, you shouldn't take creatine. You need to do it naturally, because I was worried if they started doing creatine, then they would go and start taking HGH, or then eventually they'd be into a full-blown anabolic steroid regimen. And, you know, their gear set would just be off the charts, and they'd have all these issues. Well, now, 20-some years later, I have, you know, my kids taking creatine, because creatine is absolutely safe, it's effective, and why wouldn't you do it? And the thing for me is I educate my kids, like, hey, this is like taking a multivitamin or anything else. So there's an educational process. So just because people that think, well, marijuana is this gateway drug. Well, for the uneducated or the person that's not equipping their kids and their community, well, yeah, sure, anything could be a gateway drug, just like alcohol or caffeine are drugs that could lead to other things as well. So anyway, go ahead.
No, it's totally true. And I think it can be, but, you know, one thing we donate to and one thing that I think the city of Reading should be spending our tax dollars on is youth education as it pertains to drugs. And they don't. They spend it on salaries. And that, I'll go into that, too. But so really, the voters voted it, and I don't know that the voters, how many people read it. To tell you the truth, I didn't even read that portion of the ordinance. I didn't know that they could raise it arbitrarily from 5 to 10% from 5 to 10%, and that's a doubling the city tax. So people know what the city tax, and for the cultivators, the square foot tax, and for manufacturers, the gross receipts tax. That goes directly to the city of Reading. That doesn't go to the state. That goes right into the city of Reading budget. So they were proposing, I didn't know that they can arbitrarily change it. We didn't know that this was coming up. So actually, we did know it was coming up. They had it on the agenda for a week later. 24 hours before the meeting, they posted again and said, hey, it's going to go on the next meeting. And we got, I think, like 180 people to go to that city council meeting. It's the busiest city council meeting that I've ever seen in the city. And that was in a day, you know. So they tried to get it pushed through without anyone coming and talking about it. And if we wouldn't have went and talked about it, they probably would have raised it from 5 to 10%.
Well,
and
yeah, I hate to say it, but the city of Reading has been kind of been known for doing that backdoor stuff in closed session. Like there was the land deal, you know. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I just think that that's disgenuine, or however you want to say it. That's not something that the city should be doing, especially to, like you said, the biggest taxpayer. Now, when I said that in the city council meeting, that's a little untrue, because there are some businesses that pay more sales tax, and the city gets a percentage of that sales tax, and they probably pay a little bit more indirectly to the city of Reading than we do. But direct taxpayer dollars to the city of Reading, even if you include TOT, which is all the hotels, we pay more per year to the city of Reading than any one business.
And so
people know I'm the founder of Sundial Collective, and I own Nug Sundial. So I have two businesses that I helped create or own in the city of Reading. And we've paid, if they would have raised it from 5 to 10%, you're talking about a $10 million. Well, we paid about $5 million to the city of Reading over the course of doing business. So doubling that in the next 4 years, we would have paid $10 million to the city of Reading. And all of this is because they are operating at a deficit, or so they say, right? They say they're at a $5 million deficit. And it was pretty unclear in that meeting how many years they were, because Barry mentioned over 5 years, they were at a $5 million, they're going to be at a $5 million deficit over 5 years. So in my mind, that's a $1 million deficit. I don't know exactly how they're coming up with this number, or, you know, where those numbers came from. But in my mind, and I tried to say this in my 3 minutes, but it was too quick. I told the city council, I'm like, you guys are all either conservatives or libertarians. In my mind, if you're operating at a deficit, then you need to look at your salaries. And so I looked at the salaries and cut some of those salaries, or cut some of those benefits, or cut something, i.e. walk into planning in the city of Reading. It's notoriously bad. And everyone who's a developer in the city of Reading will tell you the same thing. So look at that. Make that more efficient. I looked up, and I would encourage your listeners to look it up. Look up the salaries in the city of Reading. The top 40, I just added them up real quick, and I could be a little off with my math, but the top 40 salaries were to the tune of about $20 million. That's just crazy to me that they are saying, hey, we're operating at a deficit, so let's increase the tax on one business in particular that's our highest taxpayer in the city and not look at anything else, not look at balancing the budget in some other way. I have dispensaries all over California, so a lot of employees. If I have a business operating at a deficit, the first thing I look at are salaries, because that's my highest thing other than taxes. That's my highest expense. So as a city, they should have looked at the same thing. The other thing I would say about the city council talking about it, and I would also encourage our listeners to go look at that archived video. They can just look at the agenda for the city of Reading city council, and it will be there archived as a video. But look at what Tanessa talked about. She's talking about increasing my taxes. They were really talking about trying to double it. Then they kind of backed off when they knew we were all going to come, and they said, okay, we'll raise it to 7%. Again, super arbitrary. They don't have any research as to why they should raise it to that or if that's going to affect our business. And then they decided on raising it 1%. Well, it was very glaring in that meeting that Tanessa knew nothing about cannabis. Her biggest thing she kept saying was that we haven't had our taxes raised in 7 years, which in the city we haven't. But at the state level, we have. So our excise tax stayed at the same rate, but it used to be charged on the wholesale price of the product. So what the state said was, you get a product for $1 or whatever you get it for, you have to at least mark it up 60%. So we're going to tax you 15% on that 60% marked up value, the product plus the 60%. So if it was $1, they would tax you on $1.60. Then they said about a year ago, they arbitrarily changed this too, which was crazy, to we're going to charge you the 15% on the actual retail value on whatever you mark it up to. Most dispensaries have 100% markup. That's what we need to do because we're paying, 35% in taxes. And, our margins are very slim. So that then changed our tax rate to essentially another 15% on that 40% extra markup. It equates to about 6% extra. I mean, if someone could do the math if listening and correct me on that. But so we have had a tax increase. Also, the economy has been a lot worse the last 4 years, especially since COVID. In our industry, our sales have went way down. So people have less money to spend. So our basket sizes went down for sure. I'm sure other industries have seen that as well. And then the price of cannabis has went down. So that's also decreased our basket size. So, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago, an eighth of indoor weed was about $50 on average. Now you can get an eighth of indoor weed for $25. So people have to spend less money to get get the amount of cannabis they used to get. All of that's equated to about a 50% decrease in our gross sales in the city of Reading. So not only have taxes went up, all my fixed costs have stayed the same or went up, and my sales have went down dramatically. So for Tanessa to stand up there and arbitrarily raise, well, it wasn't just her, they voted on it, but for her to talk about arbitrarily raising the tax rate, and my industry is the worst it's ever been. That's why High Pines closed in the city of Reading, because it's a tough business to be in. That's why multiple cannabis businesses are going under, because it's a super tough business.
Well, yeah, but there's a warehouse for sale, actually, that is set up to be an indoor grow, and I'm not sure if that's where, I'm not sure who was there as a cultivator before, but there's a warehouse that I just looked at not too long ago that was an indoor grow before. And again, I'm pretty detached from that world and who's doing what. And it's obvious that it's not how it was years ago.
It's not. And you said it perfectly earlier. When you overtax our market, then people who are in the industry turn to the black market, turn to the illicit market, I guess what you're supposed to say now for being a non-free speech person.
First Amendment.
I know you're not, but I'll just say that's what people listening will say. But retail, you can't, right? So retail, you can't turn into the black market, but cultivators can. And I'll talk a little bit about cultivators in a minute when I finish that thought about Tanessa, but her arbitrarily raising that 1%, that equates to about $320,000 a year for me between my two businesses. So what they basically said is, hey, you're paying me $320,000 more a year now, because we want to arbitrarily raise this when your market's been the worst it's ever been. And Tanessa sitting up there, we haven't raised this in 7. She literally freaked out. Like, I'm like, I don't understand how a city council member can act like that and expect people to take her seriously. I've never met the lady until this meeting. But, she said, well, we haven't raised this in 7 years and we need to balance the budget. Like, it's my fault that they haven't balanced their budget.
You know what? So we're gonna take a break. I want you to stay on, and we have another 30 or 28 minutes when we come back. But I want to pick this back up, and I want to lead back into talking a little bit about the discussion, because I know the vote was 3-2, and it's really tough when people say they're for one thing and then they buckle and say that, well, I guess I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I don't like to see that. I don't like to see, because if we're truly conservatives, then it's like, taxes is not what we're looking to do. And when we talk about bailing people or organizations out, it shouldn't be on the back of taxpayers. It should be like on the backs of the city council or the governing body. And there's a reason the county isn't in the shape that the city of Reading is in. And you can say revenue and all this other stuff. At the county, we cut, we cut impact fees. We suspended them, and then we're going to spend that money out before my and Supervisor Kellstrom's first terms end, and then we're going to eliminate those. And the reality is it's not just because somebody else doesn't have a lunch, it doesn't mean you get to steal somebody else's to give it to them. Now, for me, if I have a lunch and someone doesn't have one, I'll share my lunch. But don't force it on me and just try and take from me because somebody else hasn't managed things well. And the thing with, impact fees or any other illegal or unconstitutional tax, I mean, that's what true conservatives do, is they say, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. This isn't right. We're going to take it away, and we're going to have to tighten our belt and figure out another way to do it. And the county has done that. And the county's done that for years. That's why we're in a situation that we're in, and we do pay less than other municipalities. And we do lose employees because we don't pay as much. But guess what? When all those furloughs were happening at the city of Reading in 2007, 2008, where everyone was taking a Friday off, and the county didn't furlough people. The county kept pushing along because we managed it correctly. We managed it, and we had less to work with. And anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 60 seconds, more with Latham Martinez. And this is a great topic, so be right back.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history. It is with great honor and pride that we have been able to support several amazing local businesses like these over the years.
Thanks to the Reading Rancheria for their support of the Kiwanis Festa Dam Club Food for Kids program. We send 185 bags of food home every Friday. They're instrumental in helping us.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Experience Glowing Wild, an illuminated wildlife lantern festival at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay Exploration Park in Redding, California. Open select nights April 4th through June 8th, 7 to 10 p.m. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with Asian lanterns inspired by plants and animals from around the world. Plus food, drinks, live performances on select nights, and much more. Don't miss Turtle Bay's Glowing Wild Lantern Festival at the Sundial Bridge. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria, for supporting Tree of Life International Charter School. Gracias por todo su apoyo.
Thank you, Reading Rancheria!
The Shasta Lake Chamber of Commerce wants to thank
the Redding Rancheria. They have sponsored our Friday night in the park for more than 18 years, and we really appreciate it.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. Kevin Cry, this is my show. We're here with Lathan Martinez. So, Lathan, go ahead and pick right back up. You were going into the board or the council's discussion from Tuesday night.
Yeah. So, again, I think where I was at was Danessa basically talking about something she doesn't know about, and convincing the city council to raise the taxes on everybody. I actually was surprised about a few city council members and how they were talking about cannabis, because I thought they were really against it. And so I did like to hear that, but, you know, the fact that they did, I didn't think they were going to vote yes. I thought they were going to vote no. So again, it raises my taxes by $320,000 a year. The other thing I said, I talked about cultivators. So there's a few really good cultivators in the city of Redding. They're huge in the industry. Ember Valley and Golden State. There's also some smaller ones, Shasta Hash and Flower, a few that I'm spacing the names of. But and you mentioned the one for sale. Well, that one's for sale because I know the people who built that, because it's not a viable business right now. You basically are spending just as much money to make cannabis as you are selling it for. So to ask them to pay more taxes is just insane to me, because they compete on a state level. We compete on more of a localized level. So our prices, if they're higher than Shasta Lake City, or our taxes, if they're higher than Shasta Lake City, then our prices are higher than Shasta Lake City, and people will tend to go there. With this increase, we're not even going to raise prices, because I know that if we do, then we're going to lose customers to Shasta Lake City. I'm actually the COO of Perfect Union as well, so I run that store in Shasta, so I know their prices, and it's just crazy that the city would think that raising taxes wouldn't affect our customer base and then affect their taxes. But do like the cultivators, they spent millions of dollars. Ember Valley has one of the biggest grows, well, the biggest grows in Shasta County. Pretty big, as compared to other people in the state. Same with Golden State. They both spent millions of dollars to build their grows. Golden State built a building from the ground up, over by the airport, and under the assumption that their taxes were going to be $3 a square foot. I'm sure none of them read into the ordinance enough, which is probably their fault, but if they would have seen that, oh, it could be $25 a square foot, they would have been like, that's crazy, we need to get that changed. But they invested millions of dollars in these vacant buildings that nobody's going to do anything with in the city except for cultivators. And then the city raises their taxes after they've been operating for years, when the market's the worst it's ever been. That's what I felt really disappointed about, because the city council did not educate themselves on this.
Well, it's very reactive. I mean, you know, anybody who's run a business successfully, I've run a business successfully, you've run a business successfully, many others out there have run a business successfully. We don't tend to be reactive. We tend to be proactive. We tend to look out 6 years, or, you know, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years out into the marketplace and say, this is where we need to go. So we set a course, a North Star, and we start working towards that. Whereas what the city of Redding is doing right now is, you know, I feel, and I could be wrong, but, you know, are they popping their head up and saying, uh-oh? And then now it's just, let's just grasp at straws and figure out how to make up this gap, instead of saying, okay, how do we get more efficient?
I totally agree. Especially the reason I think that I could say pretty much 100% they're reacting to a problem that's been created probably years in the making, is because they're taxing the business that pays them the most money. Like, that is just crazy to me. If you have your best customer in a business, you want to do everything you can to make sure that person's happy. That's not what they're looking
nothing
for.
Kills morale more that, nothing kills morale more of an employee or a group as when they're hitting a goal and they're doing well, and then you say, hey, maybe we could just do 10% better, maybe we could push
a little bit harder. And, you know, there's a balance there, but you sure as heck can't. You can't squash the people that you should be high-fiving and making sure they keep doing what they're doing and then find the ones that aren't. How do they become more successful to start adding more to that bottom line of a tax dollar?
I totally agree. And the other thing that people need to know is we not only pay taxes, but we pay fees. So someone in that meeting, one of the city councilors, I can't remember who, was talking about how when they created the cannabis business, they created a whole other department. It's kind of true and kind of not, because the people in the department are actually planners and they do a lot of planning outside of cannabis. But neither here nor there, probably did raise some money or cost them a little bit more money. But we pay over $30,000 a year just to have our permit. And they can move that needle never down. Like I said, the government's always going to get bigger and cost more, you know, at least in California. So they'll move that needle up when it costs a little more money, or if it costs them more money to run the cannabis department. And that's the same thing for cultivators, manufacturers. We all pay a huge permit fee. So the cannabis department is even. If it's ever operating on a deficit, they just charge us more the next year for our permit. So the taxes are all extra for them. So, and I said that in a meeting, hey, you know, well, the one department that's not operating on a deficit at the city is the cannabis department. And I think they thought we were just going to roll over as an industry, because that's what we did when we came out of the illegal market. We were like, what, do whatever you want, just let us operate. Now it's not, we all know, like, oh wow, this is a business, we're not making crazy amounts of money, so we need to watch every dollar. That's why we all showed up, you know, the way we did, to show that we have a thriving cannabis market in Redding, and that raising taxes is not good at all.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I feel really strongly about, and I've gone on record and talked about this during my campaign, but you know, I was very against the legalization of the cannabis market, industry, whatever we want to call it. But when I realized it was happening, regardless, like it was happening, so I tried to lobby for a couple different groups. And I guess this would have been, like, you could say one of my first political things, but it really wasn't so much political as it was I wanted to see a dispensary or a group out of Chico get a license. And one of the things, because I was approached, and they said, hey, you know, you trained, you know, Mike Warren's kids and all these people, you know, so a coach actually out of Chico connected this group with me, and they said, hey, this trainer and coach up in Shasta County, you know, knows a lot of people. You should talk to him. So they approached me and said, hey, we want you to introduce us to these different people. And I said, look, I'm not really looking to get a consulting gig in the cannabis space. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do is, I said, if you could agree to put 5% of your gross, I think I actually said net, and I could find the email, but net profits aside, and create what I was calling the Shasta Community Children's Fund. And it was basically, I wanted to see a basketball town or a big basketball complex built in Shasta County. So I was trying to get a bunch of the different dispensaries who are going for the permits to agree to be a part of this. And I got a couple of them to agree. But the thing was, is I felt like, hey, if cannabis is going to be here, let's get some stuff for kids through it. And one of the things that you had mentioned earlier was, you know, if the city of Redding had approached maybe the whole entire cannabis industry and said, hey, could you guys get behind helping, you know, Big League Dreams, get that turned around? And you had said, Lathan, that that's something that, you know, you would have been for, or maybe would be for, because that's a direct benefit to the community that comes from the cannabis space, that is something that's needed. And it's, you know, doesn't have to necessarily be a tax, but like how could your group help? So could you explain a little bit, like, the difference of how the city of Redding is approaching this to fix a bunch of problems just through a tax opposed to like a partnership? Is
I think that's how every city should do it. I think, you know, in a perfect world, we would have a board that our tax dollars went to, cannabis tax dollars went to, and the city could approach us and ask us for stuff. Hey, we need salaries for police. We need like you said, except for big league dreams. And in this case, that's not how the ordinance was written. In some jurisdictions, it is. You give money directly to nonprofits, and that's your tax. And I love that. I think that's how all of our taxes should be paid. We should have a choice where our taxes go, just in general. But if they would have came to us in this sense and said, hey, big league dreams is the major issue. We need X amount of dollars per year from you guys. We'll alleviate some of your taxes if you donate money to this organization. 110%, everyone in the cannabis space would have given them money. Instead, they have taxed us. And I think they're going to realize that, you know, there's some stuff that we can do to change their tactics. And I think we're going to try to do that. Because it's just, we're being unfairly taxed. It's the bottom line. We're across the board, the highest taxpayer in the state, really, if you look at it percentage-wise, we're taxed. It matters the local tax, because it does range from about 5 to 10%, depending on your jurisdiction. But we're between 35 and 40% tax on every dollar that someone comes and spends at our dispensaries. That's 40 cents on every dollar.
Well, and this is why I think it's important that small business understand what's going on, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, among the reasons, but is, I mean, today, you know, it's you guys, but maybe tomorrow it's,
coffee shops,
drive-through coffee shops. I bet you that would garner some publicity. But anyway, or you know, it's going to be feed stores, or it's going to be some type of organization that's like pet stores or anything dealing with pet supplies, and or it's going to be mom and pop hardware stores. So this isn't about, to me, cannabis. It's about just taxing the little guy, and people are going to say, people may scoff and say, the little guy, cannabis guys are making all kinds of money, they're drug dealers, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the, I know yesterday when I called you, you were playing with your kids. So, it's not lost on me that, we're talking about a tax of a specific group. And, this is where I think, we have to be very, very vigilant as a business community to say, hey, look, man, you're already making it really difficult, to operate in the state of California. We don't need it to be any harder in Shasta County or in the city of Redding. And I think it's really important that businesses, band together and say, hey, why are we not looking for ways to make it less expensive to run a business, so we can actually put more resources into our employees, into our products, into our services, and deliver a better outcome to our customer base, which will then drive more business, which would then equate to more tax dollars. And it's just, and there's a reason why many of us are self-employed versus many of us work for the government. And I'm not saying if you work for the government, you're a bad person. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm just saying there's definitely a different mindset there, you know?
Well, this is what I tried to say at the meeting. Again, you only get 3 minutes. You can't say everything. But if they lowered tax, if they wanted to increase tax revenue for cannabis, if they would have lowered retail tax to, say, 2%, we would have lowered our prices. And guess what? We would have taken all the business from Shasta Lake City, or let's call it 50% of the business from Shasta Lake City. And I see their numbers, so I can see how many people they're seeing. That would have increased tax revenue to the city. Total. That's what they should have done, and that's what a conservative does. You want to know, this is what I suspect, because most of the people on the city council, I think, are pretty conservative, and I think most of the people who work at the city of Redding are probably pretty conservative. I think that cannabis is looked at as kind of what you said, is like we're drug dealers, and it's the one industry they can do whatever they want to and not have to actually go back to their values. And I think that proves maybe who they are, or maybe they are just kind of like, okay, no one's going to care if I raise the taxes on this one. But you know what they wouldn't raise the taxes on is Bethel. You know what they wouldn't raise the taxes on are other industries that people like, right? Not that they don't like us, but they look at us like drug dealers, and we're not. So for one, our margins are 8%. After the meeting, this will tell you, and this is what infuriates me the most, and this is what people should be looking at with their city council members. Kinesa didn't know anything she was talking about when it came to cannabis. I actually have a meeting with her on Tuesday at 9 a.m., and hopefully she still keeps it after talking about it on this radio show, but I'm sure she will. But she was raising a tax on a business that she didn't know anything about. If she didn't know anything about this, what else does she talk about that she doesn't know anything about? And I'll tell you how I know she knew nothing about it. After the meeting, I pulled her to the side, and I was like, hey, can I just talk to you real quick? And I was like, look, you are super undereducated about cannabis. Everything you said up there was nonsense. Our taxes have went up. She spouted off how much, and she did this in front of everyone, about how much revenue we've generated between my two businesses. And I said, yeah, that's an accurate figure. But my margin's only 8%. And she's like, well, you're a cash business. How much of that have you hidden? And I said, Tanessa, if you think that I can hide anything.
She said that?
I'm not a cash. Yeah, she said that to me directly. I said, I'm not a cash business. I have a bank account. And she's like, well, how did the federal government let you do that? I'm like, it's a credit union in California. Every cannabis business has a bank account. We're not a cash business. We accept credit cards. We accept debit cards. We have bank accounts. And every gram of cannabis that comes into my store
is
tracked through Metrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hardcore tracked. I cannot bring anything in. And also, if I bring something in and don't sell it, they make me track wasting it out. You cannot hide anything that comes into a retail environment. And so I was like, the fact that she thinks that, and then she gets the raise my taxes.
So she says you're a cash business as if you got like a shoebox underneath the cash register.
This is what she said. I spoke to my brother, and he said you guys are cash businesses. I was like, well, your brother doesn't know anything. Your brother does not know anything about cannabis. Trust me, we are not a cash business. I was like, come and look at our – if you're going to – built to raise taxes, at least come and tour our facility and look at what we do and get some education about us. Look at maybe I would have opened up my books to her. I would have said, look, I'm making less than I've ever made, and you want to raise my taxes? And so that's why I think it speaks to what maybe not all the city council members and two in particular, which I won't bring up who they were, but two in particular were completely on our side, and I was super happy with their values, and they stuck to their values, even though they may not agree with cannabis. Actually, one of them in particular said that he doesn't agree with cannabis, but he's a conservative and a libertarian, and he was like, so I can't vote to raise taxes. I love that. Stick to your values.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's what originally I saw. I was watching and listening, and I thought, okay, we're going to actually have some people that, you know, say they're conservative, and now they're going to act conservative. That's great. And then they didn't act conservative. And it's like, oh, geez. You know, and this whole, song and dance of, you know, so you don't know what's theatrics and you don't know what is genuine or not. At the end of the day, I think what you just said is right there, is that it just comes down to, like, are you going to stick to your conservative values, whether you want to call them Republican or Libertarian or whatever. It's like it's really, really simple, and I'm still waiting for the conversation to say, hey, because I know you mentioned earlier about the salaries, and when we constantly hear at the county about the salaries of county employees, and we're always in negotiations with some union group, and you know we don't pay as well as the city. Yeah, well, you know, we live within our means, and we have just so much money, we have to invest it appropriately. And I haven't heard the city council yet talk about, I mean, the first thing they always talk about, well, we're just going to cut police and fire. Well, no, police and fire are the last things you should probably cut. And but how about all the other places and departments? And I'm not saying there's not a lot of great people working in a lot of great departments in government across all of our municipalities here in Shasta County, whether it's Anderson, Shasta Lake, you know, the county or Redding, but, you know, you can become more efficient. I've seen this at the county, and I'm actually going to, during the budget hearings, really do a breakdown of how much more efficient our county is since Supervisor Kellstrom and I have come into office. And I'm not saying it's just because of us, but I will say it's 1,000% because of a direction that this board has chose to go, which is looking at how we're doing things, becoming more efficient at it, and getting a better output. And I'm going to have some great metrics for people. I mean, there's people that just doesn't matter what I do. They're going to – it's this cry derangement syndrome. They're going to hate it. Doesn't matter. And I understand that. And I understand that's what I'm dealing with now. But
you know, efficiency is where it's at. So, Lathan, what do you see as the path forward at this point now for cannabis in Shasta County, in more specifically in the city of Redding, and what this is going to look like?
Well, I hope, for one, the city council kind of takes a look at this again, because they can look at it this time. You know, we're pretty politically involved in Shasta County and in other jurisdictions, so definitely the next election cycle, we're going to be heavily involved again, because I don't think that we're being treated fairly at the, you know, at the city level. I also think that there's maybe a path forward with some type of voter initiative, and, you know, the cannabis space wants to come together and talk about that. So we're going to look at all those things. I don't think it's going to change quickly, but I think those are the only ways that we can move forward and actually have a say. You know, we're the biggest taxpayer, so we should have a big say in the city. And then I also would hope that the city looks at, like you said, at their efficiency. It's funny that it's exactly what's happening at our, you know, at the federal level. Our government's super inefficient. Our government is operating on a deficit, so they're trying to become more efficient. City of Reading, super inefficient, operating at a deficit, so they're trying to raise taxes. That's not how it should work. They should be looking at their efficiencies, I think. And hopefully they do. Probably not. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I hope that's what they do. And, you know, for the city council members who call themselves conservative and libertarians, they should really take a long look in the mirror and do that. Say, hey, you know what? We should look at how efficient our city is. If we're operating at a deficit, we need to look at why we're operating at a deficit. So, and the other thing I'd say is a lot of the city council members own businesses. So you better believe that if their business was operating at a deficit, they would look at that or they would fail. So you can't raise taxes at a business. So I think that's what they should do. And I'm hopeful, actually, that a couple of them will do that. Whether or not they vote on changing things is another story.
I think those are the path forward. I think you touched on it right there. It's like, it's really, I don't know. To me, this isn't anything that really has to be researched. It's like, it's a conviction that I think you have when you're in, office. You just say, hey, this is what I believe, and I'm sorry, this is just how I feel. Like, you know, I'll give a really, really quick example because we have a couple more minutes. But, you know, it's like we have an air pollution control board meeting, and I would recommend anybody who can make an 8:30 meeting this Tuesday, the air pollution control. We're gonna have the director come in and give us a presentation on what is our jurisdiction as a board here in Shasta County collectively, and we have City of Redding. And the county, and I think City of Anderson or Shasta Lake has a rep that sits on that as well. And we're going to talk about our jurisdiction over our air quality as it relates to geoengineering, things like that. I don't necessarily have a big opinion one way or the other, but I think it's our responsibility to ask the question, because I have a lot of constituents that just say, hey, I'm out here on the river trail and they're spraying like crazy, or look to the west and look in the sky. And so you get asked enough by enough constituents, you say, I'll ask the question for you because that's my job. I'll ask the question. So you ask the question. And when it comes to taxes and it comes to our quality of life and it comes to some of this stuff that we're hearing at the City of Reading, like, I've had so many people reach out and say, Mike DeQuisto was right. He said they couldn't afford these raises, and here we are. And so many people have just been hammering me about, you know, some of those comments that were made years ago. And so now it's like, well, okay, like, yeah, maybe they couldn't. So where are we on those salaries? And then, you know, you brought up that whatever it was, and I know you can go to Transparent California, and I don't really spend a lot of time looking at City of Reading salaries because, quite honestly, it's not my jurisdiction, and it's, you know, not my monkey, not my circus. And but you bring up a good point about efficiencies and what people are getting paid, and I think people should look at that, you know?
They should. And it's easy to look up. It is on Transparent California. They may not be totally updated, but if they're old, that's old. That means that they're getting paid more. And you know what's funny is the people who got those raises are the ones who brought this direction to the city. And that, to me, is kind of sickening, too.
Yeah, well,
the last
I mean,
thing you said about...
We have 20-something seconds left. Lathan,
let me say something really quick. Wait,
go ahead.
The 20 seconds. Thinking about constituents, there were more constituents at this meeting than ever before, and the city council didn't even take that into account. Well, they took it into account, but they still voted the way they voted.
Well, because the city council knows they're in big trouble and they got to come up with this money somehow. And, you know, some people just can't make the tough decisions. So, Lathan, thank you for coming on. I appreciate your time. And we will be visiting with you again, I'm sure. Shasta County, don't forget, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. on Facebook. I'll be going live, talking about a lot more, and we'll probably even follow up with some of this. Have a great week, and talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. Bye.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.